Hey guys, Chris Appleton here with the Reach Podcast, and I am excited to get into the next episode here. We are going to have a great time today. I am looking forward to getting into a new devotional. We have a new album to review and a great topic for today's discussion. Hope this really gets everybody out there talking and something to think about. And, you know, we are a couple weeks away from Christmas, so, you know, it's definitely an exciting time of year. Had a great Thanksgiving, and looking forward to this new year, the year 2020, year of vision, year of clarity, and it's going to be an awesome time. Looking forward to the conference coming up, and there's just a lot of great things looking forward to. I don't want to spend too much time in the intro today. I'm going to get right into the devotional and then right into the topic. I think we're going to have fun with this topic today. The topic is going to be 12 things that a pastor cannot do. So that's going to be something to listen to and really get into. So we're going to have a great time today. Hope you enjoy the Reach Podcast with Chris Appleton. So the title of our new devotion for this month is going to be Imperfect Christmas, Perfect Gift. And it is, you know, Christmas season. So we're definitely going to unpack this devotional, get right into it. Now, I recommend if you can follow along the devotional with your Bible app. You can find this in the Bible app. It's the YouVersion Bible app. It's called Imperfect Christmas, Perfect Gift, and we are going to get right into it today, and it's going to be good. Now, part one is sin and why Christmas is for everyone. The writer of this devotional is Danny Saavedra. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly or not. All right, so New Living Translation, Romans 3, 22 to 24 says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Every year, we celebrate Christmas. It's a beautiful time of joy and good tidings. We decorate a tree, string up lights, sing beautiful carols, give wonderful gifts. Every year, we Christians like to remind everyone that Jesus is the reason for the season. But how often do we truly sit and reflect on why he's the reason for the season? Why is there a season at all? Why did Jesus leave heaven and come to earth? The short answer, our sin. That's right. The story of God's perfect gift to us was set into motion by the very first act of imperfection. You see, the Lord loves us so much, he made us in his image and likeness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. We were the crowning jewel of God's creation, made to glorify him and enjoy a perfect relationship in his presence forever. And as his beloved children, this was our destiny. What we were made to experience is what Adam and Eve experienced. They walked with God, talked with God, enjoyed his presence. They got to live their calling and enjoy the fruits of the garden. Genesis 2, 15 through 16. But then it all went wrong when the fall happened. Adam and Eve allowed their pride and selfish impulses, their desire to be, quote unquote, like God, to cloud their judgment. And because they allowed themselves to be deceived by the serpent, they and all of us fell from grace. In that moment, the Apostle Paul tells us sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. That's in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. The worst part is that the very thing they were seeking, to be like God, they already had. They bore his image and likeness, and his imprint was on their hearts and souls. In Sin and Redemption, John Garnier states that sin thus produces alienation and enmity towards God, or in other words, a moral separation between the sinner and God, which is spiritual death. And the contrary to this is to be quickened or given life. An example, to be reconciled to God. This sin of Adam and Eve infected all of their children, every single person in human history. It caused a rift, a separation between us and a holy and perfect God. Every child born since then has been born spiritually dead, separated from God, except for one. Thus, if we are born spiritually dead, once physical death has occurred, it becomes a permanent death with no chance for reconciliation. In Romans 6:23, Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death." The sin in the Garden of Eden brought immediate spiritual death upon all humanity. And the final debt for one sin is the complete death that occurs upon physical death. Thus, in order to cover the debt of sin, which is death, something or someone else needed to die in place of the sinner. For this reason, the act of sacrifice became necessary in order to pay for the debt of sin. Why? Because the cost of our sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22. The first instance of this is seen directly after the fall. In Genesis 3:21, it says, "And the Lord God made clothing from an animal for Adam and his wife." You see, in order for God to clothe Adam and Eve and take away their shame, he had to kill an animal to shed its blood. But here's the thing, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin, Hebrews 10:4. It simply wasn't enough. Only a perfect sacrifice from a perfect eternal God would do. And this is what makes the Christmas story so powerful. It's the moment God's glorious plan became a reality. How? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life," John 3:16. He paid the wages of our sin once and for all in order to give us the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. Because of Jesus, we can glorify and enjoy God even more intimately than Adam and Eve ever could. We not only get to walk with God, but also we have the Spirit of God within us. That's part one. Now I'll go through the scriptures. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. Romans 3:22 and 23. Genesis 1:27. "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Genesis 2:15. "For the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat of the fruit of any tree in the garden.'" "Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. "In fact, according to the law of Moses, Nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Genesis 3, verse 21. The Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. John chapter 3, verse 16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's the week one devotional. We're going to go through this every podcast for the month of December, and it's going to be awesome. Now, just read over those scriptures on your own this week, and make sure that you keep Jesus as the reason for the season. There's a reason why he's the reason. It's because of sin and because we needed a savior. Everyone who took part in the first Christmas were people who were looking for a savior, people who were looking for a king. And in order for you to take part in the true meaning of Christmas, it has to be a moment, not where you're searching for gifts, not where you're searching to, even give or get anything. The only way to take part in the true meaning of Christmas is to search for a savior. To search for the heart of Jesus, to search for the heart of God. So let this Christmas be a year of searching. Search for God with all your heart. So for the next part of the podcast here, next segment, we are going to discuss 12 things a church pastor cannot do. And so this is going to be something that I hope creates some discussion, and I hope I hear some feedback on Facebook, different things like that about it. But it's an article on churchleaders.com, and I thought it was pretty interesting, so I wanted to share it on the podcast. So there are 12 things a church pastor cannot do, even though pastors are, now this is the person writing this article, even though pastors are, in my judgment, amazing people, they faithfully serve Sunday after Sunday, often with no desire for recognition or fame. And in faith, they can do a lot. But here are 12 things a church pastor cannot do. Now, as I read these, I'm going to give you kind of my feedback on it, but I also want to hear your feedback on it. All right. So 12 things that a church pastor cannot do. Number one, read minds. Okay. Now, everybody knows that, but many church members hold pastors accountable for unstated expectations, meaning that you're holding a grudge against the pastor for something that you think he should be doing or thought that should have been done, or something that's been on your heart or been on your mind and you've never voiced it, you've never shared it. And for some reason, you're holding this person accountable for something that you never really have stepped up and spoken about. So pastors can't read minds, you know, or you get offended because a pastor walks by you and doesn't shake your hand, and you know, in your mind or whatever it is, you start tripping and no one's going to be able to read that mind. You got to give that stuff to the Lord. Your pastor cannot read your mind. Number two, pastors cannot be everywhere. No human being can be every place at once. Yet some members still get angry when pastors have to say no to something. So pastor can't be everywhere. You know, sometimes they have to say no, and we pressurize people to do exactly what we want, when sometimes, you know, you got to just give space and room to your spiritual leader sometimes. They can't be everywhere. These are good. I like this. Sometimes you're going to hear a no, I cannot do that. And you have to be able to respond in a spiritual way to the word no. You know, sometimes you hear no and you have to instantly, the flesh wants to creep up and make it seem like you're being picked on, but your pastor can't be everywhere. Sometimes you're going to hear the word no. I like these. So far, these are good. That's only two. Okay, number three, change hearts. Pastor cannot change the condition of someone's heart. They could preach about heart transformation. They could teach about heart transformation. They could work. They could disciple. They can love. They can encourage. They can do all that. But the heart change is actually by God Himself. Only God can change the heart. And the only way God can change your heart is if you allow Him to do it. You can sit under great preaching and sit under great discipleship and hear powerful messages and powerful teachings and all that. And if you're holding on to bitterness, you're not letting God heal that bitterness. It's going to stay there. And you can blame your pastor all you want, saying, oh, I only get milk. I need meat. You know, this and that. This problem and that problem. It's on you to let this stuff go. If you're bitter, it's because you're holding on to that bitterness. You're unforgiving. It's on you. And you want to blame the pastor when you're the one that's holding on to that. The heart change comes from the Spirit of God. Number four. These are 12 things a church pastor cannot do. Number four is know everything. Okay, so most pastors study hard, but nobody can answer every question somebody asks. Sometimes the wisest thing you can do is say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that right now. I can look it up. I can find it. I don't know the answer to that. Instead of creating something and it be error. You know, no pastor can, even though they study hard and do all this work and, you know, they're wise and they're led by the Spirit of God and they're praying and they're active in the ministry and working with people and doing all this. And then you expect them to know everything. And the minute that you're, some people search for an answer to trip up a pastor just so they can feel good about their own insecurities. It's like, get real, man, get a life. So you found something that someone can't answer. Now what? You know, that's not really a major accomplishment. Why not take the things that you are learning and the things that you do understand and find one of those things that you're learning that you can apply to your life? Maybe you'll start growing in the Lord. But we stay stuck and we stay stagnant in a place because we found some question or we found something that the pastor couldn't really answer or couldn't help you with. And now you have a reason to stay stuck on stupid. Oh, come on, somebody. This is helping somebody today. Number five, this is a big one. Church pastors cannot please everybody. Even Jesus couldn't do that. Jesus couldn't even please everybody. There were, you know, he had his three closest disciples. He had the 12 disciples. Then he had the multitude. Then he had like 120 guys that were with him. Then he had the multitudes. Jesus got up in John chapter 6 and he preached a message telling all these people that were following him just because they wanted food, just because they were following Jesus because they wanted something from him. And it wasn't teaching and it wasn't miracles and it wasn't ministry. It was that he fed the 5,000. And now he had all these people that were following him just because they wanted bread. And he preached a message in such a way just to thin out that herd of people that were following him. He told him, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you're not worthy of my kingdom. He preached that message just so he could separate people out of his life. And a lot of times we're afraid to preach messages that we feel might separate people and that might push someone to either get involved and stop making excuses or get to walking. Anyway, church leaders can't please everybody. Sometimes no matter what you do, you're going to try to, you know, be nice and be loving and be kind and be sensitive and all that. And no matter how much you are to that certain individual or whoever that person is, no matter how nice you are to them, they're just not going to be happy with what you're doing or what you're saying or what's going on. They just want a reason not to be happy with you. And you can't please everybody. Jesus didn't even try to please everybody. He just did what the Lord called him to do. So church pastors cannot please everybody. Number six, this is a wild one here. Number six is church pastors cannot live sinlessly. Nobody can, including you and me, all of us. We're all sinners. So nobody's exempt. And a lot of times we're willing to extend grace to everybody in the world that's in sin, that's messing up. You'll listen to sinful artists. You'll watch movies with people that are full of sin. All this stuff is going on. And the minute you hear that a pastor slipped up, you're all over it. Instead of extending grace. Now, I understand that we have to hold ourselves and, you know, leaders to a higher, but you can't be offended by other people's sin. And I know this is going to get people talking, so it's all good. But no one can live sinlessly. We can live right before God, but no one can live sinlessly. I'm not saying that pastors have carte blanche to go out there and just live in sin and fake the funk and be, you know, hypocrites and this and that. We're just supposed to still, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying your expectations of someone to live blameless and sinless and all of this stuff, sometimes someone's going to make a mistake and it's up to us to be the Aaron and her and lift them up instead of tear them down, because God's grace is sufficient. That doesn't mean you're going to, as pastors, just go out there and blow it and mess up and do all this over and over and over and over and just live in habitual sin. But what I'm saying is sometimes you're going to see someone make a mistake and you can't tear them down because of it. Nobody can live sinlessly. Number seven, this ought to offend somebody here. Pastors cannot grow churches. If the church does grow, it's because God doesn't. Oh my goodness. This is a cold one here. I'm not even going to go here on this. Some of you think it's you doing all this and not, you know, there's guys out there that try to take all the glory for everything that's happening. And they got these big mega churches doing all this stuff, and it's God that brings the increase. One man plants, the other waters, but God gives the increase. So grow churches. Number eight, multiply dollars. That's too bad, too, since some churches don't pay their pastors well. So there's a... This is the article here. Pastors cannot multiply dollars. That's too bad too, since some churches don't pay their pastors well. That's what it says. It's an interesting one. Number nine, escape mistakes. All of us will mess up sometimes, often unintentionally and even unknowingly. All of us will mess up sometime, often unintentionally and even unknowingly. We see, you know, a mistake made, or someone makes a bad call or whatever it is, and you want to pin them on the cross over it. No, we all make mistakes. We learn, we move forward, and we advance, and we continue to back up our pastors and back up our leaders. Number 10, avoid favoritism. Pastors minister to everybody, but having better and best friends is natural. That's an interesting topic. I mean, you could sit and talk about that for a while. Avoid favoritism. Pastors cannot avoid favoritism. Pastors minister to everybody, but having better and best friends is natural. I'm not sure what I think about that one. Because, I mean, the way I was discipled and built, you know, we were taught to avoid this, but it happens. You know, it happens. You have people that you like being around and some people you don't. If someone's real negative, I know you're not always going to want to be around that person. You'll minister to them. But then if you have someone who's positive, who builds you up, who speaks good things, and, you know, and you have to figure out what kind of person you're going to be and how you're going to, you know, not be a toothache to your pastor and always have a good thing, a good word, something positive, good person to be around. Or you're just going to be negative and down and speaking bad things. So I guess it's true that pastors can't avoid favoritism. You're going to want that person that speaks glorious things around you as opposed to some negative person always speaking death. So yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Number 11, this is a good one. Pastors cannot reveal everything. No matter how much you may want to know the details, pastors may not be in a position to tell you right now. And a lot of times you have information gatherers who all they want to do is, it's not even about knowing the information, it's about telling others that you know the information. You know, it's not even about having a knowledge of what's going on. It's being able to tell others that you have a knowledge of what's going on. And it's hard for you to keep things close to the chest. That's why you may not be able to be trusted with information. Also, there's some things the pastor goes through that he doesn't share with anybody, only the Lord. There's things that he has planned and things that he knows God has given him that he can't share with everybody. And how a pastor has to be able to wisely and effectively disseminate information in a way that builds those around him and not tears down. And a lot of times we don't even care about what the information is. We just want to know it so we can tell people that we know it. Anyway, I'll move off of that one. Hallelujah. And number 12, pastors cannot ignore sin. Pastors must address sin even when it's not popular. And what this means is the lifestyles of sin. And, you know, pastors cannot just let it go. And if you're around a pastor who is speaking truth and confronting sin and dealing with the issues of your heart and of your life, stay close to that man. Stay close to that pastor. Stay close to that person because they're leading you in the right way. So we have to understand God places leaders in our life, and there are some things that they just cannot do. We have to be okay with that. We have to give them room and understand, you know, that they They can't read minds. They can't be everywhere. They can't change hearts. They can't know everything. They can't please everybody. They can't live sinlessly. They can't grow churches, multiply dollars, escape mistakes, avoid favoritism, reveal everything, and ignore sin. I have an awesome pastor. He has been a spiritual father to me for over 20-something years. And I've made a lot of mistakes. I've gone here and gone there and done this and done that. I've messed up, and he's always been right there, a phone call away, to encourage me and to help me. And I thank God for that. Pastor Ruben Reyna, awesome pastor. That is my pastor. That's my spiritual father. He's guided me and helped me. And I thank God for him. I try to stay close to him. I try to be there and be a blessing to my pastor. I'll tell you a story about my pastor. One time we were doing this outdoor event, and it was windy. They were setting up tables outside, and the Santa Ana winds coming through, and everything they would set on the tables, the wind would just blow it all. And then the rain was coming, and it was gonna storm, and you know, all of a sudden rain started. And he said, "Come on, guys, let's join hands and pray." So we had a group of people, about 10 people, join hands, and we prayed. And my pastor prayed this, and it was one of the most powerful experiences of my life. He said, "Lord, put a dome over us." And at that moment, it was like something just sealed over the entire church property, and the wind just stopped, the rain stopped, everything. And it seemed like it was only around us. Like I could see clouds and everything everywhere. And it stopped right where we were. And I just thought, man, that was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. To have enough faith to eat. First of all, I would have never thought of that prayer, put a dome over us. But then to have faith that God would actually do that. And then not only that, but see it happen. And I was telling the guys that were around me, I said, "Did you guys just see that? Did you?" And I went to Pastor. I said, "Pastor, did you see?" He goes, "Yeah, I saw it." Real humble. I was like, you just stopped the weather around us. Like that's an intense miracle. So I have an awesome pastor, the best pastor. And, you know, I know everyone who knows me and knows Pastor Ruben. And I know that if you hear this, you're going to agree. He is an amazing pastor, and I thank God for him. And some of you out there, you need to extend some grace to your spiritual leaders. You just really do. You know, maybe you're expecting way too much, or you just need to have the same pastor as me. Come on, somebody, because my pastor's awesome. All right. So anyway, this ought to get everybody talking. Praise the Lord. And I want to hear feedback on this. And, you know, it's definitely a touchy subject to talk about, you know, what pastors cannot do. So the next segment, we're going to review a worship album. And then we're going to close this thing out.
You've not found anything. You keep on hoping for greater things. You've been wrestling with all that you're meant to be. Give up. There is a need. mystery you'll uncover. Come discover here at the manger scene. Lean in, oh lean in, lean in, oh lean in. No greater treasure, no greater love. This is the wonder given to us. Come and behold him, come and adore. He is the victory, he is the door. He is the lion, he is the lamb. There in the manger, the great I am. Lean in, oh lean in.
This song is called The Wonder. It is by New Vision Worship. And it's hard to even hear it, but that's actually a Christmas song. And when it's saying lean in, oh, lean in, what it is a picture of the wise men and Mary and Joseph and everyone who was there leaning in to the manger. And looking down and seeing the master as a baby. And it just an amazing thought that at that moment that it actually was there, that the human embodiment, Jesus Christ, he was there. God made manifest was there. All of heaven was leaning in. I mean, you can imagine the angels and ever just leaning in to look and see the glory of God and the plan of God at work in that manger. Just a powerful thought. It's called the Wonder EP. It's by New Vision Worship. The whole album is good. It's only 4 songs, but they're really good songs. And I really enjoyed listening to that and getting that picture of just leaning in and beholding the wonder and the glory of God. And it's just amazing to see and take the time to listen to this album. It's only 4 songs. It goes by really quick, but it's some really wonderful songs. A nice song to do for Christmas. If you're a worship leader out there, you want a new Christmas song that doesn't sound too Christmassy, there it is, right there. That's a lean in, gives you a nice message with it and a nice story with it, and it doesn't sound too Christmassy at all. And it's a blessing to do. So there you go. There's a nice Christmas worship song for some of you worship leaders out there to do. And so that's my album review. This is the second song on there.
Just a whisper of Jesus in time.
So it's a powerful album. Forever My War Cry, Forever My Song, Jesus. I love it. All right, so that's the end of the album review there, and we are going to close this thing out. So I don't know about you, but I've had a great time with this podcast today. I hope you guys have enjoyed it up to now, and you know, all the episodes and everything. I want to hear some holiday shout outs from some people that are listening to the podcast. So if you don't mind, what I would like is for you guys to record something on Messenger, send it to me so I can put it out. I want to hear some holiday shout outs, some an awesome story of Christmas, something that God has done in your life, maybe is doing today, testimony, something like that. Even if it's two or three people, I want to hear some awesome Christmas testimonies and some things that the Lord is doing in and through your life. We're going to close out today. And I just, you know, if you have any feedback on any of the things you've heard today, especially the 12 things that a pastor cannot do, that topic, I'm sure it's a touchy topic. And, you know, maybe it might have offended a snowflake or two. I'm not sure. But if for some reason you feel the need to make some comments on it, I am all ears. I'm open for discussion on it, and let's get down to it. Otherwise, you know, I mean, it's just a blessing. I'm putting this podcast out to really be a blessing, to really encourage, and hopefully, you know, we learn together, we grow together. And I've never done a podcast before, but it's fun to be able to share my thoughts and share how I see things, my perspective, and everything else. So we are going to be closing this out. Before I do, I just want to tell you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what hardship, trials, or struggles that are in your life, be encouraged and move forward. Love you guys.